colleagues.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Chair.
Morning, Chair.
Good morning, Chair.
Looking at the attendance, I see we are only three, myself, Honorable Tekken, DM Magazi. Is my reading correct?
Chair, are you talking to me?
Yeah, I was saying when I look, it seems we are only three in the meeting.
Oh yes. Is Honorable Soposing connected?
I will see there. Yeah, yes, she is.
Okay.
Chairperson, I'm also connected.
Who is that?
Ms. Peterson.
Oh. Okay. Yes, Nasipre was saying something.
I was going to say Ms. Peterson and Mr. Maybeth are also in the meeting.
Ms. Peterson and Mr. Maybeth.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Okay. So we are enough for the meeting, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. We must just take note that indeed other members are still in the other portfolio committee. Though we have changed our time with an hour, it was a little bit cumbersome of us to believe that they might definitely be finished by the time that we start. But be it as it may, this is a presentation of committees to us, so we can listen. I'm sure they might join us along the line, and we need to have to take them on board at some point. Flag the agenda, Penosipo.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just received a message from Honorable Seki on Honorable Stry that they will be finalizing their meeting in human settlement, and as soon as possible they will join us.
Okay, that will be better.
All right.
The agenda, Nosipo.
Chairperson.
We are asking for an agenda. I thought you have joined NUM and AMQ on strike.
I'm here, Chairperson. It's not reflecting. The agenda is reflecting, Chairperson.
Yes. Why do I not see it? You could play agenda when.
It's reflecting, Chair.
Kanjani, why am I not able? I've been talking about understanding this the trooper. Okay, if it is, I move from a premise of assuming. Oh, here it is. Oh, now I understand where I'm failing. Thank you very much. The meeting is duly opened and you're all welcomed. We had a meeting yesterday, so we thought necessarily wanting to call it a continuation, but it is part of the meetings we are supposed to have. I know this is a special meeting. We called it because we are pressed for time. because the items we are talking about is going to be passed on the 10th of May. Therefore, if we have not spoken to them, the 10th of May might come and we will not have spoken to them. We have got the responsibility, party whips and party leaders, that we must try to work our time, our preparation for this thing with the department, that we meet our time frame without being pressurized by the outcomes of the system. All the time we have been struggling since we came in here, that we do get reports at pressurizingly on the basis of the dictates of parliamentary sittings. And I think we need to correct that issue. With that in mind, I must have to pass condolences. Yesterday I thought I will wish speedy recovery by former member Gadi, who was the former Secretary General of the EFF. Unfortunately, I left the meeting before it would get closed when I was supposed to do that. I was gonna be late, by the way, because I was still gonna wish them to speedy recovery of their beautiful daughter. Unfortunately, later during that day, yesterday, she was found. I know that it has not been declared as murder, but listening at the circumstances and everything else, I think she was murdered. We really need to put our condolences and prayers to the Gadi family and the EFF as an organization. We know that the SG of the party is now an advocate helping society. So our condolences, our real condolences to them. We must be worried a bit, colleagues, that our stats on COVID is consistently growing back to the system where we need to be worried about, though death is a little bit small, but at some point we're at 6,000, 7,000 in terms of the COVID positiveness. We really need to be worried about. Thank you very much. Can we observe a moment of silence for mediation and prayer? Thank you very much. Apologies, Tiwa.
There are apologies, Chairperson. Mr. Basson is in Tshwane to work on a by-election. Deputy Minister Mr. Mahlobo is in Modimolle attending the Capricorn strategic planning session. DG Mr. Phillips has another urgent commitment to attend to, so he won't be part of the meeting also. That is all, Chairperson.
Chairperson, okay. If I may.
Mm-hmm.
Chairperson, if I may, the minister will also not be able to attend due to other commitments.
Okay. No. I think yes.
Chairperson, yes. This is Ms. Lusenga. I'm representing the DG. Thank you.
This is Minister Mthunu. I'm on at the moment. Thank you.
Okay.
Apologies, Chairperson. I had received a message from the office of the minister that he will not be able to attend. My apology.
No. Listen to the registration of the minister. He is on at the moment. So he's telling us that at some point he might leave us, then your apology will become effective at that time. So you are not misleading us. They are not misleading us.
Very correct.
Yeah. Okay. No, not Mr. Peterson, I think you represent the DA. You must tell Honorable Basson that we will meet there in White 96. Me and him were at war there in that by-election. Okay. Is there anyone who's struggling to speak? Yeah. Okay. Briefing by the entities undertaking work on behalf of the Department of Water and Sanitation on the appropriated budget and annual performance plan for 22-23 financial year. And the first one, I'm told it's going to be Bria de Choris, but let me hear the minister. Maybe you might want to change the chronology for whatever reason, but we are in your hands.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. Morning to TM Makadze. And I want to take this opportunity and greet all the agencies that are here, Prairie Hoitz and Nkomati Usutu Catchment in the Management Agency, and then South Caledon. And I hope all the relevant people who are to present here are there. Chair, just to take this opportunity that we've had quite lively interactions with Prairie Hoitz, and we will be looking forward to their plan for this year, part of which we had an opportunity to discuss and understand. And I would be looking forward to look at the implementation thereof. Nkomati Usutu Catchment Management Agency, we still have to have an engagement for this year. We haven't had an opportunity except with them as individuals on different reports. And Trans-Caledon, we often interact on a number of issues and challenges. All of them should be in a position to outline to the Portfolio Committee in accordance with our discussions and plans, especially for projects that they are responsible for. And therefore, without much ado, thank you very much, Chair. We won't change the format. Let it flow as it is. Thank you very much.
Something that you will speak later, because the minister have not spoken, unless there is something new, very important you want to say.
No, Chairperson. Let's proceed.
Thank you very much. Let's follow the procedure. It is now Horace, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Chairperson.
Okay. Let's hear you.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Minister Kunu, and the honorable members who are here this morning to hear the annual annual performance plan for the Bria de Choritz Catchment Management Agency. I am Bongani Mnisi, the Chairperson of the agency, and with me this morning, I have the acting CEO, Mr. Jan van Staden, who will be taking us through the presentation. And I have also, just before the presentation starts, I also have the Chief Financial Officer, Mrs. Zanele Mngoma, as well as the Acting Senior Manager, Water Resource Management, Ms. Prudence Mashaba. So we would be able to take questions and, you know, facilitate comments when we're done, Chairperson. But I think also maybe to interest you, Chairperson, and the members of the Portfolio Committee, is the current project that is taking place, the Greater Brandfle project. You'll understand that the decentralization of water management, particularly water resource management, is to ensure that the people's lives are improved. And we do believe that at the completion of this project, which is to raise the feeder canal to the Brandfle Dam, will certainly increase access to job creation in the area, as well as growing, the facilitation of economic growth in the area. And this will be done by the mere fact that the increase by just a mere centimeters of this wall will allow an increase of about 33 million cubic meters that will flow into the dam. And this amounts to 15% of irrigation yield in activities in that area. So we're very excited about this, Chairperson. And I thought I should just share these news with you as we are about to start with the presentation. And if you will, Chair, I will just call our acting CEO, Mr. Van Staden, to lead us in the presentation at this time. Thank you very much and good morning.
Yeah, I think we should. Bamkunu, abantu bakamnisi generally bayinkosi ngale khaya ngishare boundary ngithi nami nginkosi le mapulane. Akomanzi mara baphethe amanzi la abantu bakamnisi. Kodwa isizwe sabo asinamanzi lapha emanyele ethi game reserve kuya etimbabadi ngani mnisi.
Eh, iqala elikhulu lelo kufuna ukuthi makuphela lo mhlangano bengaphansi kwesihlahla sithi ukukhuluma kakhulu leyo ndaba ngokuzotha.
Okay, ngiyabonga minister. I'm sure uyazoba mnisi. Uyazoba mnisi.
Yeah, ngizile. Thank you.
Siyabonga kakhulu
mnisi. Brother Red.
Mr. Van Staden, you may continue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and also the Chair of the meeting. Good morning to everybody. The presentation of the annual performance plan of the Brede Gouden CMI for the current year, it seems so far, but we're already in the year for a performance year 2022-23. And just a little bit of background, the Brede Gouden Cash Management Agency, we are situated in the Western Cape, and we are, to put it simple, we are responsible for the management of raw water resources in the half of the Western Cape. So it's more the eastern and the southern part. And we are established in terms of the National Water Act, and we do water resource management. And to do water resource management, you need to run around in the area to solve the problems of people and industries and municipalities. So just quickly, our vision and mission, quality water for all forever. That's everything that we are doing in the agency. And our mission is to manage water resource responsibly through continuous engagement with all stakeholders and devolve decision making to the lowest level for the benefit of all water users in the Brede Gouden water management area, including the environment. So what we essentially do, we harness the skills and the knowledge and the goodwill of people living in our catchment to manage water resources in a responsible way. And that responsible way is also to look what is best for the environment, the ecology of our rivers. So we've got a couple of strategic focus areas in the agency: water resource planning, water use management.
Mr. Van Staden? Through you, Chair, can you please put it on presentation mode just for clarity? Yeah, just to make it bigger slightly for our members. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Manishi. So the focus areas of the Brede Gouden CMI: water resource planning, water use management, institutional and stakeholder relations, water allocation reform, water resource protection, strategic support, management, and governance. So So the first one, let's start with water resource planning. This is essential and a critical function of a water resource management institution. So here we look at, in terms of legislation in the country, a CMA needs to comment on all activities that are linked to the change in land use. So this is a daily activity of the CMA, and our target here is to always respond to 90% of all the applications that we receive. And this is especially important in the era of floods and droughts. I mean, a proper planning and input can ensure that, especially when it comes to the settlements of communities, the building of towns, neighborhoods, etc., that these type of developments are staying outside the flood lines, that is a danger area to the lives of people. And the core business of the agency is water use management. So the first one is that we want to register all authorized water use. So this registration of water use is in two ways very important. Is number one, you can get a good feeling of what water is used in the area and what is still available for future applications. And of course, also our total income base as an agency is directly linked to the registrations of water use, because when a water user is registered, automatically that water user will receive an invoice based on the water registration. The next one is the number and sign and finalized validation, verification, confirmation letters captured. So here, when we do the project of water verification, that information that we captured from the water user, it must be captured on the system and then automatically become part of the database. And the water users that are authorized are then paying for that water use. The same for the general authorizations. And here is one of our core businesses that keeps us busy all the time, especially what was mentioned by the chair, Mr. Bongani Manisi, regarding this availability of water in the Greater Brandvlei scheme, a government scheme. And the function of the Brede-Gouda CMO is actually on the eWula system, is to receive applications and process applications and then make a recommendation to the department for approval or not. So here we work strictly according to the regulation. So we say that the licenses must be recommended as per regulation, and our target is 85% of all license applications must be recommended within the specific time frames. That is quite a tall order. And behind this function, there are sitting a lot of professional people and water use application assessors. Then the next one is a general authorization is linked to the approval of water use. This is like a general approval that is given by the state for certain types of water use. And the process is, because it's already approved, you only need to confirm it on a system, the state now. And our target is whenever somebody or an institution is applying for this confirmation, that we do it 100% all of the time. And then the whole matter of when a water user is authorized now, it's important to look at compliance of the conditions linked to that authorization. That's a continual process, and we plan for this current year to do 80 of these water compliance reports and inspections. And also important to note, when somebody is not complying to a water use authorization, then the next steps can follow, and that can be like administrative rectification or even criminal procedures. I want to continue with the focus area of water use management. The topical issue in many parts of the country is the current quality of final effluent coming from, especially from municipal treatment works, and we emphasize that, and we do compliance. And by doing that, we ensure that the municipalities, for example, they stay within the prescribed water quality for the final effluent. And our target is 4 for this current year, and for the previous year it was also 4. Then this whole big project we're busy that they call the VNV, but it's actually the confirmation of water use that happened in the qualifying period in terms of the act. That is now the period 1996 to 1998. So that is quite a complex and involved process. And our target is to do 200 a year, also for the current year. And over the 5-year period, we plan to do 1,000. Strategic focus area number 3, institutional and stakeholder relations. So the Brede Gouden CMI depend very much on the input and assistance of all the people living in our water management area. So it's within our interest to raise awareness, especially among school children and also other stakeholders in general. Because it's only by raising capacity, creating more awareness, that you at the end of the day can win in water resources management. So if everybody is aware not to pollute water, not to litter, etc., etc., at the end of the day you will get the results from these type of activities. So for a CMI, this activity of empowering our stakeholders is cardinal in our operations. Then the next one is number of intergovernmental cooperation initiatives to facilitate and enhance water resource management. A CMI, nobody can do water resource management alone in the area. There is just not sufficient capacity, either skilled people or resources. So it's only in the interest and at the end of the day, logical, that all government institutions working in the area, we combine our skills and resources to get a better water resource management picture at the end of the day. Then we put in here newsletters. We bring out the quarterly newsletters that we distribute to all our stakeholders. So the newsletter is also part of awareness, capacity building, and just to tell people in general what is happening regarding water resource management inside the operational area of the Brede Gouden CMI. If I can continue with the strategic focus area, institutional and stakeholder relations, we also brought in as an organization activity that we call community funded projects. So what we do on a community level, we fund, for example, community gardens, storage tanks, etc., that help on a very low social level to bring awareness in water resource management, either by better irrigation practice, etc. And that is quite successful. And we can see the benefit on our local people wherever we funded these type of projects. So what we say our target here is for, if it's funded and there is an application for it, we're going to fund 100% of that. Then the next one is the whole matter of forums in catchments that are talking about water resources management. This is again the thing that whenever you establish a forum to do water resources management, you bring more capacity, more ears, more eyes into water resource management, and it's of great assistance to the Brede Gouden CMI. Without the forums and the input of local people, you cannot do water resources management. So our target is here, there are already 40 in place, and we keep on supporting and wherever possible that 40 to keep them active in the area. Then strategic focus area number 4, water allocation reform. A CMI, especially the Brede Gouden CMI, is established to bring about a better dispensation regarding the allocation of water. And here what we focus on is to make the whole process, the technical process, administrative process, as easy as possible, to provide so much assistance as possible to emerging farmers, for example. So it's quite easy to access water and also the system to get access to the water. Then we also run a project where we install rainwater harvesting tank, and these are is linked to like also small gardening, small type of farming, and our target is 400 for the year. And I can also say that this one, we also see the visible results. The board did visit in the past some of these projects, and you can really see it's making a huge difference on ground level. Then the next one is the water resource protection, strategic focus area number 5. And here the outcome is all about good water quality and legal water use. But to determine that, you need to know what is the base, what is the quality of the water in our water resources. So we sample a lot of rivers, groundwater resource, etc. So the number of points for this coming year is 80. Then the next one is the number of river rehabilitation projects funded and technically supported. This one is actually all to do with the removal of alien invasive vegetation next to our rivers in the riparian areas, because this is, according to available information, a huge threat on our water resources. If these type of vegetation just continue to grow, at the end of the day, you will get a reduced flow and you will impact other water users, or there will not be water available to allocate or to use by water users. And here also we work together with other organizations in our area to make a difference when it comes to the management of alien vegetation. So we've got 3 projects, and that is the target for the current year. And the last one on this page is the whole thing about non-compliant case investigated. This one is all to do with pollution. Say for example, there's a oil spill, or a tanker spill, or a sewage pump station overflowing, etc. Then normally people can report it, and our target here is to block each one that is reported to this office, and we do investigate, and we do give a outcome answer to the people that initially laid a complaint. I'll move to strategic focus area number 6, the whole thing about strategic support. I mean, here is complying to the legislation, and I can highlight this, the tariffs, the water resource management charges for the next year or the year thereafter. There is normally a big a consultation process that the CMA must follow. So we do roadshows all over the area, also by means of emails and the internet, to get comments on the proposed tariff for the next year. And we call that, after you summarize all the information, that is a tariff report that we submit to the Department of Water and Sanitation, and that department are using that again for when the minister decide what the tariffs must be for the next year. If I continue with strategic focus area number 6, I want to highlight the whole matter of percentage of targeted procurement budget spent on BBBEE. I mean, we totally support that, and our budget and the money we spent is a clear evidence of that. And then water resource management charges, that is our income. A big part of our income is coming from water resource management charges. And the rest of the income, of course, is coming from the Department of Water and Sanitation, that is the so-called augmentation grant. So we put a very high figure here. We are always planning to collect 75% or more of the water charges that are due. So far we are quite successful. Our payment rate is in the order of 75%, And the endeavor is always to move that figure up to eventually moving closer to 100%. Then I'll post on organogram. So for all the approved posts on organogram, we want to fall 75% of the post. We are currently 71 officials, and we're working from two offices, the one in Worcester and the other office in George. And as the funding become available, we're always trying to appoint more people, because you actually need more skills and more hands on deck to do proper water resource management in the area of the Breede Gouden CMA. The next one is management and governance. I just want to mention here the whole thing about the shareholder compacts. So there's an agreement between the board of the BGCMA and the minister what the CMA will do for the next year. And it's called the shareholder compact. So that must be done every year. It's a requirement, and the target is one, because it can only be one agreement for the year. And then just on this page, largely number of agreements signed. So here is to raise the profile of the Breede Gouden CMA. Here we sign agreements, for example, with our other water entity in the area, the water services entity, with the name of Oakburg Water, or for example with the South African National Botanical Institute, where it comes to additional funding that can help us in the process, for example, to bring more management, especially to the invasive vegetation next to our water resources. Chairperson, can you allow me to hand over now to the CFO of the Breede Gouden CMA, please?
Thank you, Yanni. Good morning to the honorable members and also to my colleagues. I don't have to introduce myself. The chairperson of the board already introduced me. Can you go to the next slide, Yanni? Okay. The proposed budget for the 2022-23, we've targeted an amount of 82 million, which shows an increase of 7 million compared to the prior year, 21-22. One will ask, what attributes an increase? In terms of employee-related costs, you will see that we've increased from 51 million to 55 million, that we've budgeted for an appointment of the CEO, because Yanni is acting. And also we've budgeted for the other water-related vacancy position to capacitate that unit in order to improve service delivery. Also, the increase you will see under goods and services, an increase of 3 million. That one is include an operational cost as well as the project that the agency will embark on the 22-23 financial year. And also you will see an increase on the repairs and maintenance, as well as on the capital outlay for furniture and equipment. Thank you, Yanni. In terms of the employee-related costs, this one is showing a percentage increase per classification, this slide. In terms of the employee-related costs, there's an increase of 7.7%. As I've already mentioned, what causes the increase. In terms of goods and services, there's an increase of 11.85%. Repairs and maintenance, an increase of 24.76%. Capital outlay, 27.14%. Board related cost, 5.6%. That gives us an increase overall of 9.18%. When you look at the last column, which is percentage per item, our employee-related cost is taking off 67% of the total budget. One will ask why such a percentage goes to the employee-related cost. because the PGCMA is a service-oriented organization. We give service to the communities, which in this case to our water users. We don't owe any infrastructure. We give advice to water-related issues. We check the compliance. We manage water resources. We manage water use, as Yanni already explained, under our objectives. So that is why the employee-related cost is taking 67% of the total budget, because we're a service-oriented organization. Goods and services is taking about 30% of that. I've already explained that under goods and services is operational cost as well as the project. I'll explain the projects that we'll embark on the next following slide. Repairs and maintenance is taking 0.32% of the total budget. Capital outlay, 1.5% of the total budget. Board related cost, 1.16% of the total budget. So as I already mentioned, that the budget increase, it's 9.18 compared to the prior year. Thank you. Next slide, Yanni. Okay, source of funding. Where are we going to get the 82 million? The 82 million, we will get it from the augmentation, from the water resource charges, as Yanni explained already, the process for tariffs, and also the interest received and the other income. The augmentation from the department, we will get about 4.1 million. If you can notice, it has decreased compared to last financial year. Last financial year, it was 4.6. So now the department confirmed that they will give us only 40 million. Water resource charges, that 33 million, as Yanni already explained, that we target to collect 77% of the water registered volumes. So the 77% amounts to 33 million. That will collect from the water users, which is our 77%. Interest received from the late payment as well as from the bank charges, I mean from the bank for the amount that we are having in a bank, amounts to 3 million. And then we budgeted for 3 million. For the other income, we budgeted 4.7. The other income is made out of the amount some of the our users are still paying to the department. Remember, we've inherited the billing and invoicing function from the department. So some of the users are still paying there. So we've entered into an agreement with the department that we must invoice them for those users, and then they will pay us back, which it happened last financial year. The department is paying us back for all the users who are still paying directly to their account. So that other income, we budgeted for that, hoping that as time goes, all the users will pay directly to us, but you know a change is not easy for the people to accept. Okay, next slide, Yanni. Okay, this budget is based on the zero-based budget. As I mentioned earlier on, that the goods and services include of all our projects. All the projects are included in goods and services items, which is river rehabilitation, rainwater harvesting tank, and social upliftment. So out of the 82 million, the total budget for these are 8 million. 8 million that we've budgeted for the project. We've also have got rollover of 3 million. So which means for the 22-23 financial year, all our projects will amount to 11 million out of the total budget. Source of funding, 49% of the PGCMA budget will be funded from the augmentation from the department. This amount includes the transfer of water to the Borg Olifant. City of Cape Town is extracting water from our dam, from our water management area, and they are billed by the department. The department is also paying us that amount back. The department is collecting the water charges on behalf of the agency in agreement that the department will transfer back the money to the agency, which is the City of Cape Town in this case. 40% will be funded through direct billing and collection of water resource charges. And then interest received from the bank balance and the late payment is estimated at 3.72% and other income at 7%. Next slide, Diana. And thank you very much, Chair. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Okay.
Very much, Chairperson. That's the end of our presentation.
Thank you very much. Minister, is there anything you want to say before we engage?
Thank you very much, Chair. It's just to say that in the main, with this agency, we are looking at expanding their service throughout the Western Cape. And I think for very well-assessed reasons, that's our main project from our side as a ministry. But of course, we are working with them. And on their side, they have to keep good governance and including appointments to fill up vacancies and so on. But I think we are general on course and we are in synergy with their plans as presented. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Maybe let's get the second presentation before we engage each one of them, because if we do that, we might run out of time. Please take note. Yeah, please take note, members. We will engage them once. The second entity is not support.
It is Inkomati Usutu, Chairperson.
Nina Begunen. Nina Begunen.
Thanks very much. Greetings to the committee, Honorable Minister, Babu Mkunu, DM Makasi, and colleagues. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity given to us to present our 22-23 APP. Chairperson, I'm accompanied by two of my fellow board members, Ms. Siobhane Wiggins. Ms. Wiggins is our deputy chairperson, and Dr. Tava Kelly, who is our chairperson of the executive committee of the board. And with your permission, Chairperson, may I introduce our new CEO, Mr. Lucky Mohalaba, to the committee. Mr. Mohalaba started working with us in February this year. He will be doing the presentation of the APP to the committee today. But before I hand over to the CEO and his team to do the presentation, I would like just to give a few highlights. One is the water resource pollution in our catchment. We've got this problem of water pollution, and the main polluters of our water resource are the municipality waste water treatment plants. In our view, the waste water treatment plants are operated at a capacity beyond their initial design, and most of them are dysfunctional and too old to be properly maintained. Maybe a person is advisable to invest in building new wastewater treatment plants to cater for the increasing users demand. We know we don't have budget, but taking advantage of the new technology in designing wastewater treatment plants, maybe this will help. The second highlight that I want to make, Chairperson, is the budget shortfall. This year, Chairperson, is not a good year for us in terms of budget allocation. We have a budget shortfall of 29%, which translates to about 50 million. And we have tried all we could to cut our expenditure to the bone, but it's still very difficult for us to fund critical projects. The last one, Chairperson, the highlight that I would like to make is the delays in the implementation of the dam construction project along the Crocodile River. It's been forthcoming for a long time. The Crocodile River flow is put under stress during drought season, and the water users get affected in the process. Chairperson, allow me to give to the CEO to do the presentation of our APP for this year. CEO? CEO?
Hi, Ageko.
CEO, are you muted? Let the person with your permission, let me just give them a call.
Okay.
If they take time, Chair, we could suggest that we call TCTA.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that because they're all going to come and present anyway.
Thank you, Chairperson, Chair and Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. We apologies for experiencing technical glitches from our side, but we are sharing the presentation quickly. We wish to acknowledge the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee as well as the members of the Portfolio Committee, the Minister, Deputy Ministers, and members of the Executive from the Department.
Who is this?
For the 2023 financial year.
Chairperson, that's our new CEO, Mr. Lucky Mohalava.
We provide the presentation outline, which details the issues that we wish to present to the Portfolio Committee today. The entity is established in terms of Section 78 of the National Water Act, and primarily our mandate revolves around the protection, conservation and management of the water resources at localized area. And for us, it's important to just indicate that there are quite a number of areas which deal with this aspect, particularly around the entity ensuring that the water users are supported through various activities, including ensuring that the communities out there are aware of their responsibilities, including issues around the efficient use of the water resource. Our old mandate also includes the ensuring that there is equitable access to the allocation of the water resource as outlined in the National Water Act. We are quite aware that there's quite a lot of expectations, Chairperson, in relation to issues around stakeholder engagement. And I think yesterday when the minister was providing his input, we also share the same vision by our shareholder that the involvement of stakeholders in the work that you do is quite important. And in this instance, we have taken on a huge drive from the month of January up until now, where we are engaging extensively with all our stakeholders, particularly the district municipalities, as well as the local municipalities in our water management area, to see to what extent can we play a role in the work that they do, the water services delivery area, But I think the chairperson has already indicated on issues around the capacity of the municipalities when it comes to water service delivery issues. And I think that the work that we have done up to so far really is beginning to show impact in the kind of infrastructure that we want to see in the various municipalities. Going forward, we will be signing an MOU as an organization with the provincial COCTA. We've met with the HOD of COCTA. We should be signing an MOU with the department in the next 2 weeks, just for us to cement our relationship and to say we are here as an organization and this is the work that we do. We really want to support the various municipalities within our water management area. Certainly, the work that we also do also involves the services of ESCOM in terms of the strategic use of the water within the province, as well as Secunda in the Mpumalanga province. Equally important, the transbound international obligations, so with Mozambique and Eswatini, serves as a key imperative in the work that we do, as there's water that is transferred from South Africa to both Eswatini and Mozambique. We also are supporting the forestry and the mining industry to ensure that they are able then to improve and contribute to the economic driver of the province. We are reflecting, Chairperson, some of the key legislative imperatives and sections which we are complying with, particularly when it comes to issues around the management of emergency water resource pollution incidents. And this is managed by Section 20 of the National Water Act and other important elements of the work that we do, largely to the protection of the resource, including some key functions that relates to conservations of the users, which may pollute the resource from time to time. Our vision is clear, Chair, in terms of ensuring that we want to make sure that the there is sufficient and equitable, equitable and quality water resource in the life of the citizens within our water management area. And our mission is clear, and as well as our values that we stand by as an organization. As Ella indicated, Chairperson, we are operating within three district municipalities, being Nkangala, Ehlanzeni, as well as Gautsebande district municipalities. And we do share with the committee members the operating area, which is the map that we're sharing with the committee. Equally important is a description of the map where we do reflect the transboundary responsibilities and obligations from our side that relates to the water that is leaving our shores into the two countries. In addition to the work that we do, Chair, we operate four main rivers, which is the Crocodile, Sabi, Sand, Usutu, as well as the Nkomati, both looking at areas around quality as well as quantity. We also manage the Kwena and Dinyaka dams in the Crocodile and Sabi systems, respectively. It's important also to indicate, Chair, that other dams are being managed by the irrigation boards within our operating environment. The issues that we have reflected on regarding the transboundary nature of our responsibilities are also dealt with in this light. Of equal importance is also the issues around the support that we provide to the forestry industry as well as the irrigation-based agriculture, which forms the largest user of the water resource, which in the main also supports ecotourism as the main economic driver within the province as well as our water management area. We wish also to indicate to the portfolio committee key systems that we use within the organization. which in the main seek to support the work that we do. Systems which includes the data system, which does provide an early warning on issues and risk related to droughts and floods and issues around pollution. We are equally excited to have the HydroNet system within the organization, which really is assisting us to monitor issues around climate change as well as water allocations patterns. And this is real-time information that we use for us to make key decisions, in addition to the sum of the information that will go to our partners in Eswatini as well as Mozambique. We provide the structure of the organization, chairperson, and we must indicate that all the executive position had been filled until there was a resignation, I think, in the last month of April, where we lost Dr. Jane Molwandwa, who went to the Water Research Commission. I think with the guidance of the board, we should be, at the earliest possible time, fill the position of executive water resource management. When it comes to our outcomes, we've got four main outcomes within the organization, and this is as a result of the robust engagements within the executive, as well as a presentation of the outcomes to the board for approval and submission to the minister. And one of the key outcomes is in relation to our increased stakeholder satisfaction. We must report, Chair, that the board meeting, which was convened last week, actually approved the stakeholder engagement framework, which seeks then to provide a foundation of the work that we want to do in relation to the strengthening of our relationships with our stakeholders. The second one relates to our capacity to ensure that we've got skilled human resources within the organization. And this largely deals with issues around training and bringing more skilled personnel within the organization to support the business imperatives. Thirdly, on issues around the financial sustainability, and those are matters which we're also concerned about. And I think certainly yesterday, our Director General was very emphatic around the issues of the entity being financially sustainable. And in our case, we do pay specific focus on to what extent are we financially sustainable as an organization. I think the financial information that we'll be presenting in the latter slides does provide some information in respect of this outcome. The fourth outcome is in terms of the protected water resource, both in terms of quality and quantity, which in the main is our mandate as an organization. What we indicate in the slide, Chair, is the outcomes as well as the programs, as well as the output, as well as the output indicators. And this is also in line with the TPSA framework that provides the programs and how should these programs be structured. But in the main, we do indicate in terms of the specific outcomes and the programs, to what extent do we want to see some of the issues being implemented in the organization, particularly when it relates to issues around the financial sustainability of the organization, on issues that in the main relates to cost control within the organization. In the current financial year, we have been very robust in ensuring that due to the limited financial resources that we face as an organization, we approve the cost containment measures that we are currently implementing to ensure that the working capital that we have is actually aligned to the expectations, and we are in a position to better manage the cost within the organization. A critical aspect also relates to ensuring that there's revenue enhancement within the organization. The executive is currently looking at other options of ensuring that there is other revenue streams given the limited budget that we have in the form of the augmentation that we receive from the department, as well as on revenue, which is derived from the water resource charges. We want also to emphasize, Chair, the implementation of the vision of the minister in this regard and the president when it comes to the water use authorization, and ensuring that we continue to support our mother department in ensuring that we meet the 90-day period for the water use authorization. And that is a matter that going forward, given the right financial resources, the organization is going to making sure that we put the right resources in terms of personnel, in terms of the skills that we want to put in place to ensure that this area is strengthened going forward, including issues that relates to other regulatory compliance when it comes to issues of pollution, because as the chairperson has indicated, this province faces a mammoth task of dealing with issues around pollution of the resource. So the outcomes of our programs is really in line with the directives as issued by DPME. We further amplify some of the key risks that the organization is facing that we certainly want to continue to manage. And there's about four key risks which we have identified given the outcomes that we have presented. And key amongst those really deals with issues around the reputational risk as an organization. And this in the main will be the core of our operations, from issues around compliance, ensuring that there is strengthening of governance within the organizations, ensuring that we efficiently utilize the financial resources, but also looking at to what extent are we able to maintain our positive audit outcomes that we've been able to achieve in the last couple of years. We also want to better manage and look at the deadline, the water security, and that is will be informed by a number of programs and projects that the organization is going to be implementing to ensure that certainly the water resource quality and quantity, those are matters that going forward, together working with our partners, we are going to be managing very, very closely. In this instance, at the board meeting which was held last week, the board approved that we should go out on a consultation process to look at how best are we able to implement the strategy that deals with the quality of the resource. ICT issues to support business are quite important, as well as issues around the unsustainable financial resources. So in the main, those are the four key risks that we have identified. And in the next slide, we do indicate some of the mitigating actions that we want to put in place. And key amongst those is to, and we're quite excited that the department has nominated the ISUMA to be part of the pilot project to look at the issues around the waste discharge charge. And we're part of the steering committee that is participating in this regard. And we want to look at issues of the implementation of that process, because the user must actually pay for the pollution of the resource. We also want to look at issues around the implementation of the water use efficiency and water mix. And this in the main looks at a number of issues, including our capacity in terms of research capabilities around groundwater utilization. The data that we have so far, Chairperson, does reflect that some of the areas that we are responsible for are water stressed. Some of them have a large amount of groundwater, particularly in the Hart Sibande district area. And we do, in our interaction with those municipalities and other partners in industry, do emphasize about around the promotion and usage of groundwater as an alternative source. So there is quite a number of mitigation plans that we have planned for. The specifics around the APP target for the 2022-23 financial year are in line with the outputs as indicated earlier. We also want to ensure that we focus largely on our stakeholders, and the framework that the board has approved will guide us, and we're going to use that framework as a foundation of how we deal with our stakeholders. And we're quite excited that so far the stakeholders that we've engaged with extensively in the month of January to March have really given us some impetus on how we should move going forward with the plans as led by the board. We're also looking at interacting with a number of institutions in the province. We've already met with the University of Mpumalanga. There's quite a number of projects that we are implementing with them so that we increase the body of knowledge around research capacity within the water space in the province. On the financial side, we want to make sure that all our employees remain safe in terms of the disabling injury frequency rate, and those that go to the field, we want to make sure that they remain safe, and we want to target a less than one in terms of the FIR. The working ratio, we're also looking at less than or equals 80%. And this is in the main for us to look at how best then are we able to manage our financial resources, limited as they are. The current ratio, of course, there are challenges. We want to ensure that it's more than or equals to one. This will ensure that we're able then to, as an organization, are able to pay our debts on time, and issues around the going concern of the organization is maintained going forward. It's not the best in terms of what we want to project going forward, but with the kind of innovations that we want to have as an organization, including issues of ensuring that there is other revenue streams that we want to identify going forward. We hope that going forward in the outer years, this might change to be a more positive one. Chairperson, we've got two targets in terms of the debt collection ratio. One is in relation to the toxic book. We must indicate that the target in this instance is about 4%. And in our revised APP, which was submitted to the Mother Department, this was revised to about 4%, given the history of the toxic debt that we inherited from the department, with a request for us to pursue these debtors. And the 4% is largely informed by some challenges relating to the non-availability of some documents that may support the claim. So in this instance, the target is about 4%. The healthy book, we're targeting about 60% of that. This largely in the main relates to the current customers that we have within our books, and we want to ensure that we increase the percentage of collection going forward. The main reason, I think, for us to have a 60% target for the debt collection ratio for the healthy book is that we are in the process of cleansing our data as an organization. Some of the letters and invoices that are being sent are letters which are returning from the customers, and the validation process, VNV, that is currently underway should be able to assist us in the outer years to increase the percentage around collection. We also want to ensure that the level of compliance around resource quality objectives are met, and going forward, we have said to the customers and our municipalities and industry that we are going to be really implementing the law to the latter, including ensuring that there is consequences around the legislation where polluters continue to pollute the resource without any consequences. So we want to ensure that we increase our level of monitoring in this regard. Our level of obligations in terms of international obligations to both countries, we want to make sure that it's more than or equal to 90% to our partners in the two countries to be able to secure the quota that has been provided to these two countries as per the tripartite agreements. We also wish to ensure that the authorizations are processed within the regulated time, and this is a matter that we will not dare to compromise on to meet the expectations of the state president. We also want to ensure that we monitor the activities for compliance, and the target in this instance being the 90%. We have increased this target to really, really say to our stakeholders, the compliance issues are quite important, and we're going to be also implementing the resolutions of the summit that the minister recently convened, and to look at how best are we able to manage these issues going forward and to achieve the required outcomes and targets that we have set for ourselves, including a 100% record of enforcement which is taken against non-compliant facilities or users. There is a couple of transformation initiatives that we are implementing, and for the 2022-23 financial year, we wish to spend about 60% of the PPE. That is an amount that is allocated to that category. And in terms of rents and fines, we are looking at about 29.3 million for goods and services. This also includes our attitude around increasing that value, particularly in the areas of the technical areas. But also in addition to that, we want to, in the current financial year, ensure that we offer mentoring or to identify the developing entrepreneurs and service providers, and conducting of seminars to key partners within the water management area. Indeed, we continue to look at our CSI programs, as well as empowerment both internally and externally, including the issues around the capacity buildings around HDIs, where we do assist in this regard. The financial outlook, Chair, I think in the main, what we are reflecting in the colored area is that for a current financial year, there is a budget of about 147 million that we are looking at as an agency. And the segregation of that amount is actually an amount of about 89 million, which is the augmentation from the parliamentary grant and is given to us by the department, which then constitute about 60% of the budget. And in terms of the charges that we charge, we are looking at about 55 million, which is constituting about 38% of the total budget, and the other amount, it's about 3, which is interest received from some of these amounts. So in the main, Chairperson, we do take cognizance that the largest chunk of our budget is actually from the department. And going forward, we've undertaken to our board that we wish that the picture should change and begin to, as an organization, look at other innovative solutions to change this picture. And there's a couple of ideas that the executive and is looking at and that soon to be presented to the board. The segregation, Chairperson, in terms of the descriptions of the 147 million is in terms of the total wages and salaries, which is about 96, and all the other cost drivers being goods and services, which accounts for about 26 million within the budget that we have. We do also reflect some proposed budgets for the outer years which we have shared with the department in the 5-year strategy outlook. The amount is allocated to the various programs, which is still remains at 147 million. The larger chunk of this amount has been allocated to the protection and use of the water resources, which accounts for 46% of the total budget. In rand cent and terms, it's about 69 million, which is then followed by the human resources and business support, which then accounts for about 46 million of the budget of 147. Is
the challenge. Are you still there?
No, we're losing you.
We do reflect, Chair, the financial challenges that we have as an organization. I think it's also important to indicate that we are expecting a shortfall of about 50 million from the proposed budget. Initially, we were looking at about a budget of about 174 million, which in the reality now is that we are going to have about 124 million. So we're looking at a shortfall of about 50 million. There is about 23% of the parliamentary grant being documentation, as well as about 40% reduction in terms of the SME charges due to bad debt. As Ella indicated, this is also due to the quality of the data that we have, which was transferred from the department. We continue, Chair, to engage with the department around the data quality to support the 40% reduction. Secondly, we are also engaging with the colleagues in the department, particularly with the chief financial officer, who's really coming on board to look at the kind of assistance that can be offered to the entity that we are now realizing that there's a shortfall. And the shortfall does have its own impact in terms of the critical contractual obligations, which will impact the entity to some extent fully execute its mandate. And secondly, we've also proposed to the board, which the board has approved, the cessation and downsizing of some key projects. And I think the situation might improve depending on the outcomes of our discussions with the department in terms of the additional funding that may be required from our side. However, we do not want to sit back and just complain about the lack of resources. And while the discussions are underway with the department, we have come to some proposed action plans that will really assist us in the short term. As indicated, we're engaging with the department to revise the allocation. We also have implemented a debt management strategy, which the board has approved, and we're implementing that strategy and the cost containment measures, which we have approved last month. The long term, we have as indicated issues of revenue streams to augment the already strained resources. But in the main, we have also engaged with the department to look at the review of a sustainable funding model for the CMA or for the CMAs. In this regard, there's quite a number of issues that we have engaged with the department, particularly on issues that relate to the pricing strategy, because all our costs that we are looking at as cost drivers, we wish to recover our cost in full, But at the moment, the current pricing strategy does not allow us to recover our cost in full, particularly when it relates to the domestic and forestry, which strategy really puts a cap on some of the tariffs that the entity can charge. So we really hope that in the long term, this is an area that the department can look at. I must indicate, Chair, that we have agreed with colleagues in the department that this is a matter that must be looked at on an urgent basis, because it really would affect the sustainability of the CMAs in the long term. We also wish to indicate just a few operational challenges, which we do take note of the minister's visit in the province and the engagement with the premier. But from our side, the issues around the inadequate storage, particularly in the city of Mbombela, because we currently don't have the implementation of the Crocodile East Dam project. All indications are that the dam will be constructed in the year 2026. So we are really looking forward to this. With the rains that we've recently have had, Chairperson, all the runoffs are leaving our shores to Eswatini and to Mozambique, and we could really benefit from this dam going forward, because there's quite a number of key projects in our view that will be impacted by the lack of storage capacity within the Mbombela area, as the water demand is going to grow in the long term. I think we've spoken about the pricing strategy, which is the pricing strategy which we hope that that can be reviewed, because it puts some caps on how we charge our tariffs going forward, so to make us more sustainable. Chairperson, that is our presentation as an entity, and we really thank the committee for giving us the opportunity to present our APP for 2022-23 financial year. Thank you very much.
Chair, yeah, that's the end of our presentation. Thank you.
Chair, we're in your hands, I'm sure.
Am I audible?
You are audible.
You are.
Okay, thanks. Greetings, Honorable Minister. Greetings to the Chair and members of the committee and colleagues. The CE will do the presentation on the plan. What is noteworthy is that the mandate and the plan confirms how the entity is going to deliver the mandate and how the entity is going to expeditiously respond to directives given by the minister. And we need to assure the portfolio committee that in executing this mandate and the directives, the board is going to continue to embrace good governance. I think the presentation also confirms how these mandates will contribute to the government outcome, the 12 government outcomes, and how it is going to be aligned to the government priorities as pronounced by the minister in the 2022 SONA. Thanks, Minister. I will then hand over to Mr. Sechemane to actually do the presentation.
Okay. Hello, Chairperson and members. Am I audible now?
You are breaking a lot, but you are now audible.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was struggling with the presentation this side. I hope it's we can see the presentation. And with your permission, I'll start, Chair. This is the outline of the presentation. If everybody can see the strategic overview, contributions to government outcomes, alignment with government priorities, projects funded by TCTA, challenges and analysis of the 22-23 budget. Chair, I'll deal with everything and I'll just let the CFO deal with the analysis of the budget. The introduction is just to outline how the Trans-Caledonian Tunnel Authority will fulfill its mandate and implement the directives received from the Minister during the period 2022 to 2025, and in doing so, supporting government's developmental agenda. And this is our mandate set out in terms of the notice of establishment directives issued from time to time by the executive authority. We are, as TCTA, an implementing agent on behalf of the Department of Water and Sanitation with the funding and implementation of water infrastructure projects. This is just a mandate flow process in terms of what happens from the time we receive the mandate from the minister until now the project is fully done and handed over to the department. What gets left then with us is the debt management aspect of it. So I know that this has been presented before, so I won't go deep into it. Unless there are questions there, I can always come back to it. Strategic overview, this is TCTA's vision and mission. We aim to be the world-class enabler of sustainable infrastructure for a water secure South Africa. The mission to plan, finance, and implement sustainable and accessible water resource infrastructure. What's important then is starting with the strategic goals for 2022-2023. The first goal is the raising of funding for implementation of infrastructure. Goal number two, implementation of capital projects on time within budget and to the appropriate standards in a suitable socio-economic environmental manner. Goal number three, operate and maintain designated projects to meet DWS requirements and specifications. Goal number four, manage debt within the approved borrowing limit. Goal number five, effective control of corporate expenditure. Goal number six, ensure organizational positioning of the planned water agency. We're only talking about goal number six here because there's still a lot of work and leadership that we need to get from the minister, and also we would supported by the deputy ministers and the DG. So we are putting goal number six here. I'm just talking about it because I know it's something that we're working very hard on at this particular point in time with the direction coming from the minister. Goal number seven, ensure organizational positioning for the planned water agency. I think I've talked about it in the previous one. Coordinate and monitor efficient implementation of the project within SIP 90. It's the role that we still play on goal number eight, supporting governments in terms of the SIPs. Goal number nine, enhance the internal control environment, risk management, and supply chain management system. Goal number 10, clear, irregular, and surplus and wasteful expenditure. 11, implement the ICT strategic plan and the ERP system, which is the enterprise-wide system that we use. Goal number 12, position TCTA as a thought leader in critical aspects of water security. Number 13, develop a high-performance organizational culture that contributes to the achievement of organizational goals. So those are our goals. So the next few slides, Chair, we're just outlining the government outcomes against the TCTA contribution, really looking at what government has actually tasked through the minister, what government has to do, and there is an alignment in terms of the outcomes, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, 9, 10, and 12. We have actually selected these because these are aligned to the work that we're doing. So we are showing the contribution of TCTA in terms of ensuring that government is able to achieve the outcomes that it wants. Alignment with goal, with government priorities. the five government priorities for 2022-23, the State of the Nation address on the 10th of February 2022, some of the issues that were mentioned or that were relevant anyway to us, it's overcoming the COVID-19 pandemic, where it's directly facing what we do as TCTA is a massive rollout of infrastructure, a substantial increase in local production, an employment stimulus to create jobs and support livelihoods, and rapid expansion of our energy generation capacity. This one is indirect, but we know that you, for now, except for green energy, you need water before you can actually do energy generation on a massive scale. A massive rollout of infrastructure. This one is actually directed to us specifically because this is what we do. The projects that we're currently dealing with at project preparation phase is the Mkomazi Water Project Phase 1, and the Mkomazi project in totality. We're looking at the augmentation of the water supply to the Mgeni system by 85.8% or 220 megaliters of water per annum. And this is the description of the project, and maybe I just need to look at the project cost, which is approximately sitting at 23.2 billion at this particular issue. The critical issues related to this particular project are the resolution of the EIA conditions impacting on the viability of the project. Part of that, one has cheekily put a photo of the blue swallow, which are some of the things that are necessary before we can even get the approvals that we need on the environmental side, because these are the breeding grounds for the swallows. Negotiate and conclude institutional arrangements. There's a lot of work that is being done, driven and directed by the minister, working with the political structures also in KZN, looking at the cost of this total project and all the other issues. We need, once those are done, to obtain borrowing authority from National Treasury, and we now need to secure interim and long-term project funding, and that's something that TCTA then does with the external funders at this particular point in time. But these are what's on the critical path. Project at implementation phase, the Mukolo Crocodile Water Project, which we call MAKWAP 2, and the Bear River Full Flay Augmentation Scheme, which we call BRAVAS. On the Mukolo Crocodile Water Augmentation Project Phase 2, this is planned to augment water supply to Eskom, and looking at the independent power producer, power generation, associated coal mining, the Lephalale municipality, and unlocking economic development in the waterbed coal fields as well. And the project cost is sitting at 12.3 billion at this particular point. And the critical issues are the raising of long-term funding. Of course, there's a lot of alignment or assignment by the funders with this, looking at the fact that we're supplying or water in the space where there's a lot of coal development. But we are saying as well that this is also supported by and funded by the World Bank, where they are looking at technologies that would make sure that the fossil fuels are not as are not actually polluting the area. So we're looking forward to this, because this is also an opportunity for South Africa to still be able to use coal in a manner that is not harmful to the environment as well. And the critical issue as well is the award of contracts for the construction of the project as well. The next one is the Bear River Full Flay Augmentation Scheme. What I need to say about this, the project is was looking, initially it was an emergency project, looking at supply to the Western Cape, and we all know that there was a lot of drought in that particular area. Although things have changed around, there's been a lot of delays in terms of finalizing the awarding of all the institutional arrangements in terms of the contracts being finalized between the municipalities and the metro, which is would be the Cape Town. And at this particular point in time, the number that's sitting there as a cost estimate is going to drastically change. And that's why one did not change this, but it's important to highlight to the committee that there are new figures that have come at this particular point in time, but we are planning to have a meeting. In fact, our meeting with the potential customers. It's on it's this Friday, where we are going to talk about the cost revisions. And once that process has been finalized, we will come with a new figure in terms of where we stand. But I need to say that the figure looks very different in terms of the preliminary numbers at this particular point in time. So this has a potential of pushing back depending on the response that we get from the customers. But for now, the project is still in line, but we will see after we've gone through this process in terms of what the outcome is, because we need to work with the department and also the end users as well. The next one is projects that are under operation and maintenance. We are looking at the acid mine drainage and the Lesotho Highlands Water Project Phase 1. And I'm deliberately talking about Lesotho Highlands Water Project Phase 1, not Phase 2. I will then talk to Phase 2 in one of the slides later. And on the acid mine drainage, the objective is the operation and maintenance of the Western Basin, which has a high density sludge water treatment plant in a cost-effective and environmentally sustainable manner. I think on the Western Basin, we are not doing badly because the plant is currently treating around 25 to 30 liters of megaliters per day of AMD. The quality of treated water does meet the Department of Water and Sanitation specifications. And on control, they can prevent it by keeping water level below surface. So we are able, there are no issues in terms of the Western Basin at this stage. The central basin, the target is to keep water below the ECL of 126 below surface. Target of maintaining AMD at 126 below shaft curve, not yet met. An increase of water ingress into the basin and a number of operational outages during the year has resulted in the failure to achieve the targeted water levels. I think we've seen that with the amount of rainfall that has taken place, there's been a lot of fresh water that has found itself into the ingress where we don't have disclosed at this particular point in time. So we are working to recover on this particular one to make sure that we can meet that target. The problem at this particular point in time is the Eastern Basin, where at this particular point in time, we have had motor failures that have impacted the operations of the plant. And I think the committee would be aware that this has made the news at this particular point in time in terms of the potential decant of AMD. But we are working with the German companies, and I did ensure that there would be a question that says, but why are you not working with other companies to do this? The size of these motors, there are only two suppliers in the world that are actually producing this. So we are actually linked to, we have no choice but to work with those particular suppliers. And at this particular point in time, we are looking at the German supplier sourcing necessary spare parts, and we are looking at the end of June to actually deal with the risk and to recommission the plant. The risk of environmental degradation is limited given that the risk of decant will not materialize before the pumps have been repaired. So we are still confident that we'll be able to deal with this matter. It is a bit worrying that we are linked to these particular suppliers because not a lot of people are doing submersible pumps, especially that deal with an acidic water such as the acid mine drainage. So this is where we are on this particular one. The next one is the Lesotho Highlands Water Project Phase 1. Water delivery targets have been met currently, and we are talking about Phase 1 at this stage. Successful outage was held during October and November 2019, looking at emergency repairs that needed to be completed. The reason why we're talking about this is once the pipeline gets into, the tunnel gets into the South African side, PCK is responsible for that part. So there's always a coordination between ourselves and the government of Lesotho on their side to make sure that this is done successfully, because it is one pipe. It's just that one side of it, one side of the tunnel is in Lesotho, the other one is in South Africa. And we are planning the next outage for a 6-month duration. We are planning that for 2024 to refurbish the steel lining. And already the plans have started in terms of ensuring that by 2024, we will be ready to deal with this. And I know in the past, some of the questions related to what would it mean if there's no water flowing for 6 months. So part of the plan is to actually ensure that there would be enough water that can last us for that time. We have successfully dealt with this before, and it has not been a problem. So planning for the next outage has commenced already, as I'm saying. And then looking at the transformation strategy, we're looking at procurement policy reform for goods and services, as well as for infrastructure development. Of course, this has been heavily impacted now, I think, if I'm now looking at the topical areas now, in terms of the decision of that came out of the Concord based on the challenge that was put. So we are currently working with the board to get an exemption to be able to still continue with the projects that we need to do. But it is a process that we are undergoing because this is affecting all state-owned entities and companies. Provision of economic opportunities to previously disadvantaged individuals through preferential procurement, development of black businesses through enterprise development with emphasis on women, youth, people, and people with disabilities, job creation and employment of local citizens, skills development, provision of bursaries to deserving students from previously disadvantaged backgrounds, and in general, looking at poverty alleviation where we can. Projects funded and implemented by TCTA. I think this is an important slide because it talks about all the projects that are funded and implemented by TCTA today. Now, this is the only space or place where I'm talking about the cost of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project Phase 2, because the project itself is being implemented by our sister company in Lesotho, which is the LHDA. But on our side, what we're doing is providing the funding. Now, for phase one of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, we are now sitting at 9.5 billion that is outstanding, but that is well managed and there are no issues there. The cost of the phase two is sitting at 36 billion, and this is the work that we currently busy with. Of course, we are going through all the processes and making sure that we deal with things like the Namibia issue because of riparian issues, related issues. But it is a matter that that has been handled, and the minister has taken lead on this particular one. Funding and implementation of the Bath Water Project, you can see the number is sitting at 1.6 billion. Funding and implementation of what we call FRESAP, the Vaal River Eastern Subsystem Augmentation Project, 2.9 billion. Implementation of Phase 2C of the Olifants River, it's sitting at 2.3 billion. Funding and implementation of phase two of the MMTS or Moimgeni Transfer Scheme, 2.1 billion. Funding and implementation of the Komati Water Scheme Augmentation Project, 1.1 billion. Funding and implementation phase one of the Mukolo Crocodile Water Augmentation Project, 2.1 billion. Funding and implementation of the treatment works for the short-term intervention on the acid mine drainage in the Witwatersrand goldfields, 2.6 billion. And the reason why this amount is sitting here was the work that was done was supposed to transition from the short term into the long term. But because of the changes now that have been put in place in terms of how the long term will be done, we will get guidance from the department once they've finished with their studies. And then we are doing the operation and maintenance of the AMD short term intervention and the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, the South African portion of, as I've said. The economic impact of the project that we're dealing with. Phase two of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, we're looking at part of the Vaal River, it is part of the Vaal River system, which supports 50 to 60% of South Africa's GDP. Nkomazi Water Project is part of the Mgeni system, which supports over 5 million people in KZN. The phase 2A of the Mukolo Crocodile Water Augmentation Project, it will support 20% of Eskom's installed generation capacity and allow the flue gas desulfurization of all Medupi's generation units. This is the condition I was talking about that relates to what well bank loan requires, which would make sure then that we don't have pollution or the coal that is being used is still environmentally friendly. The Bears River Full Flow Augmentation Scheme, part of Western Cape water supply system, which support between 10 and 13% of South Africa's GDP. So these are some of the major projects in terms of looking at the kind of impact that they have on South Africa as a whole. And then I'm focusing on challenges, implementation of projects, raising of funding and debt management. We've tried to keep these high level. Project implementation, challenges in agreeing on funding models with project beneficiaries and obtaining their commitment to sign offtake agreements contributes to delays in raising of funding. The reality is the cost of funding based on the size of the project is quite high or quite huge at this particular point in time. But we also understand that water has to be kept at a level where it can be affordable because it is enshrined in the Constitution. I think that's why our strategy is to also bring in National Treasury, where we have to look at whether there's a need or it's possible for the fiscals to come in, because normally our projects, we will actually go and not have to deal with the fiscals at all, unless there's a social component. And this is one of the issues, one of the main risks that we are dealing with as PCTA. The second one is raising of funding. Reduce funders' appetite for lending to state-owned entities and generally tight lending conditions under the circumstances. And we know that the SOE environment is not being looked favorably at this stage, but we believe that some of the, or TCTA specifically, is still at the point where we can try and get competitively priced funding, and it's work that we do. But it is a challenge looking at where SOEs are in South Africa and how they are perceived by the funding environment. Debt management, municipalities' ability to pay water tariffs, ensuring that tariffs are affordable but also sustainable to assure viability of water sector institutions. Tighter conditions of regulatory approval for borrowings, reduce flexibility to deal with unforeseen liquidity challenges. So we don't have a lot of maneuvering, and we also understand that National Treasury is looking at giving us the absolute minimum in terms of the approvals that they need, but that also creates a problem where you have municipalities that are struggling to pay water boards, who pay the department, who has to then pay us. And it's an area that has to be looked at. So there are a lot of other risks, but these ones are the ones that we picked up as the main ones, that if we are able to deal with these risks, it will actually make it easy for TCTA to implement projects as we have them. Chair, at this stage, I'll hand over to the CFO to do the budget analysis.
Thank you, CE. Morning, Chair and members. When we're looking at the budget, what we'll just look at is one, the main drivers, what drives the budget, the assumptions, and we'll just analyze the budget as approved by the board. On the next slide, we have the main drivers. The main drivers for this budget first is the CAPEX. When we were doing the budget for the CAPEX, we, for those that are impacted by sectors out of TCTA control, we have budgeted conservatively for those. And but for the assets that are within TCTA's control, there's normal assets, we have budgeted for those based on what TCTA's needs are. The next item that we have is the staff cost. The staff cost, this is based on the approved structure. And this is basically the main driver for the admin costs, overall admin costs for TCTA. The next item that we have is the IT infrastructure and the systems. On this, we just looked at the replacement of the assets, and then this was done in line with what our policy provides for. We looked at the system development. This one is just for our ERP system. We are in the process of procuring the system that is to assist in the finance, procurement, and HR. We currently mainly use the manual systems, and there are other, we use ECPEC, but then when we have to do the financials and other things, then we'll have to use a different system. So we're saying that this is a challenge, so we're trying to get one system to address all the needs of TCTA. The other driver is the legal fees. This is basically the support that we would need from the legal fraternity. We are currently defending, there are cases that we are defending, so we have budgeted for that based on what the current estimates are. And we're looking at, we'll need legal support, that is for institutional arrangements. And for funding, we will be going out on funding, requesting for funding during the current year. We have also budgeted for some due diligence work that may be needed for the agency. The next slide, this is just on the budget assumptions. What we have done as well for these, we have looked at items that are outside TCTA. We have tried to budget conservatively for this because we don't have control over them. We have used a zero-based budgeting for all the projects, but we also took into account the current running projects and the contracts that we have, and to ensure that those are carried over into the next financial years. And for the inflation adjustment, we have complied with National Treasury's guideline, where they say that we should use the 4.5%. And then for salaries, we have used a 4.3% increase that is in line with the guidance that was received. On the next page, we looked at the four vacancies, that is for payroll. We have budgeted for vacancies based on when we expect to place those. And we have also budgeted for attraction bonuses and merit increases. This was done due to the challenges that we experienced in the previous financial year in attracting and retaining talent. So we had to look at other ways where we can really attract the skills that we need as TCTA. And the office lease cost, our lease expired in December 2021. So we are in the process of securing new offices. So what we used, we just used the estimates that we had received in the previous financial year. That's what we had budgeted for. And then for the consultancy fees, we did receive business cases for all the consultancies that were included in the budget, and we had to interrogate this to ensure that we don't really have the necessary skills internally before we go out. And for the all the admin costs, those that are directly attributable to projects are allocated to those. And for the indirect overhead cost, there is an approved cost allocation methodology that we used. And this methodology is reviewed as and when necessary, or maybe when there are changes in the project activities. The next slide, these are just the assumptions that we use for MTEF. I think for the tariff billing, these are based on the income agreements that were signed and on the budgeted water volumes. And we use the 4.5% increase for all the routine expenses, and that as well taking into account the current contracts that we have. For CAPEX, this is based on the capital expenditure plans that we have as TCTA. And we have looked at what the LHDA long-term cost plans are. And we have excluded all those projects where we haven't secured funding. Those will only be included in the plan once there is funding secured. In terms of the actual budget, I look at the first two columns are just for the 2021-22. And for 2022-23, the budgeted revenue for the year is 7.9 billion. And with that, we have that operating expenditure of 2.4 billion. This is just a 12% increase on what we had in the previous financial year. And of this 2.4 billion, 1.4 is related to the Lesotho operating cost. And the admin cost, we have the 587. And for O&M operations and maintenance, we have budgeted for 461 million. And if we look at that, our operating inflows for the year, there's a budget of 5.5 billion. And if we take into account the finance charges that we are going to pay, which are 1.4 billion, we have a net working capital of 4.1 billion for the 2022-23 financial year. When you go to the next slide, yes, we look at the 2022-23. We start with that the net working capital of 4.1.
We really need to be worried a bit of time. It is half past 12. We will be closed at 1. We have not engaged any of the presentation. We might be having difficulty in terms of talking to it.
Okay, maybe I'll just end on the slide, Chair, on the what we have under 2022-23, the network capital, we have the 4.1 billion. And of this, we have capital repayments, which are 1.5. And the normal assets that we buy as TCTA is 59 million, meaning the total expenditure for the year is 5.3 billion. If we look at this 5.3 billion of these, we need for TCTA projects, there's 1.2 billion. And for the LHP W2 is 4.1, meaning that for the year under review, I think what we have there, that's the amount that as TCTA we have to go raise, which is the 2.5 billion for the current year. And for the next year is 2.4, and for 2014-25 is the 6.8 billion. So Chair, I think maybe I should end here, given that the next slides, these are just graphical presentations of what is included in the budget. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Minister, Deputy Minister, I want us to allow us to ask questions if there are things we have to say. In answering those questions, please say so, but at least this 30 minutes, let us use it for people to can engage the report, the presentation. Colleagues, here is a presentation. I know it is a little bit long. You might have forgotten what you wanted to say in the opening. Please bear with me. It is beyond me. I did ask that. Let us write down our questions and let's engage. Only one hand is in the portal. Can I see hands? Okay. Three for now. Let me start with Mam Musala. Mam Teke, you'll follow. Mam Kony will follow. Musala.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity and greet members. Chairperson, I've got a few questions. The first ones are on Transkeleton Tunnel Authority. The question is, the Water Research Commission undertook a study on women involvement in TCTA project. Could the authority provide details on the findings of the study and the extent to which measures are in place to address gender inequalities in the construction industry? Number two, Chair, the construction industry in South Africa was mired in controversy over so-called mafia style of operations to secure work on large construction infrastructure projects. Is this a challenge in the country? If so, has TCTA encountered this and how is it being addressed? Chairperson, number three, currently what percentage of the construction industry has been transformed to facilitate the entrance of black companies into the market? Four, Chairperson, the last one on TCTA. Your presentation highlights some of the financial risks TCTA is likely to encounter in undertaking mega infrastructure projects. What measures are in place to mitigate this, and how is National Treasury supporting or creating an enabling environment to ensure smooth operation of the project? Chairperson, the other questions goes to the Breede Gorits. Has the Breede-Gorits Catchment Management Agency utilized any of the Water Research Commission's technology to assist with clearance of invasive alien species or hyacinth removal? Section number two, has the Catchment Management Agencies identified compromised wetlands in their areas of jurisdiction? What is your view on the way in which South Africa is working to rehabilitate wetlands? Seventh and last one, catchment management agencies are better positioned to deal with water allocation in terms of drought, climate change, current variability, as well as other issues. Do you think delaying the establishment of all catchment management agencies stymie the work of the department? Do you think that pro-catchment management agencies are able to operate as effectively as established catchment management agencies? Thank you, Chairperson. That's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me greet all the leadership who is present here, including the minister. Chairperson, also to appreciate the presentation by the three entities, and I think moving forward, at some point you have to call them just to check if these APPs are implemented to the letter. And just two questions from my side, Chair. The President in his State of Nation Address put an emphasis on job creation as one of our government priorities for this current financial year. And all government departments and its entities are expected to make their own contribution in terms of job creation. My question is that what would be the entities, the three of them, contribution on the job creation? Secondly, Chair, with regard to, in relation to the climate change, how is all the entities that have presented today developing adaptation and mitigation plans on climate change in its work? The third question, Chair, did WS, when it presented its APP, it has a set target on procurement that focuses specifically on qualifying small enterprises and the exempted micro enterprises, which are owned by men, young people, and persons with disabilities. What would be the entities, or what would the entities contribute to this target? I saw in the presentation of Breede-Gorits, it's just generic. It's not specific in terms of the three vulnerable groups. And then the other question, what are the challenges in relation to transforming water irrigation boards to water users authority, and how is this the end to this challenge? The other question, Chair, is on TCTA. TCTA is implementing projects across the country. And in one slide, they talk about allocation of batteries to the students. I just want to check what Cherry for the students to get the batteries and how many actually have since its inception. The other one, in one of the slides, I think it's in the APP, TCTA reports that there are engagements between the TT and DWS on a planned establishment of a national water and sanitation infrastructure authority. My question is, what would this authority differ the soon to be established National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency? My last question, the role over
of 3 million, which was spent previously. Want to check if what was the for not spending this allocation, and do they have capacity going forward to can be able to spend the 11 million budget to the current projects that they have identified. I think those are my questions, Chair. Thanks.
Ms. Soperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to thank the Minister, Deputy Ministers, who are in this meeting, and all the members. I just want to appreciate the presentation of the CEO, Jan van Staden, from Radio Hoya. I just have three questions which I wanted to get clarity on, especially around 2017, there was a lot of drought in the north, in the Western Cape, and we saw farmers around Harabo area supplying the city of Cape Town and the surrounding areas during that period with water. My question is, how were those farmers allowed to keep such substantial of water privately? And what were the accounting systems put in place for them to hold such a lot of water? Is it allowed? With the forums which he referred to in his presentation, were they also reporting these occurrences? And then the second point I want to ask is regarding the river rehabilitation programs. Are there any black companies involved in those? And what is the ratio of their involvement? Can you give us more information and give us a breakdown on that? My third question is on boreholes. The boreholes drilled by farmers, is there any accounting for the use of the water, or is it for free? So those are the three questions I want to refer to Bredo Holder. I'll come back to other entities, and I'm pleased to hear the minister that they're working closely together with the entity. Thank you. Can I come back later, Chair, for the TCTA?
Chairperson, just quickly from Constance, can I please ask that Honourable Constance, please repeat the last question? I think it's around boreholes. Please, if you may, Honourable.
Okay. May I, Chair?
Yes, you do.
Okay, thank you. No, I just wanted to find out about the boreholes. If the farmers drill their own boreholes, and if they do so, is there any accounting system for the use of the water, or is it for free, or how do you deal with that? That's my question. I hope it's clear.
No, I'm going to don't spare your questions to come back later. Finish them all, because we want to deal with them once.
Okay. So I also have another one for a few, 1, 2, 3 questions for Trans-Caledon CTA, Mr. Percy Sishinami. I don't know if I pronounce it well. I would like to appreciate also your presentation, and it was quite informative. Minor questions, Chairperson, I want to ask. As per his report, there are technical issues regarding the management of the of acid mine drainage, and yet the mining hasn't stopped. And this is not for the first time that has been reported to us. But I just want to know, how do they manage the situation with the water coming from the mines? The Burke, the second question, the Burke River, workplace augmentation. He said the budget is going to increase significantly. Can I just get the reasons? I didn't hear it. Put it in the report, I'm sorry, can you please repeat for me? What does the third one is, what does the agency do
in terms of technical upskilling, I think that is also a follow-up on some of the members who spoke before me, especially around youth, black women, and the water, in the water engineering sector. If they can also give us quantify, like a breakdown to say so many women, so many youth, which areas, which province, and so on. So that's just to have an idea. So those are the few questions I have. Thank you, Chair.
Peterson? Honorable Peterson? Mary?
Chair, I only got two questions. One for TCPA. In awarding tenders, has a TCPA considered the Department of Water and Sanitation output indicators relating to the qualifying small enterprises and the exempted micro enterprises annual targets in your procurement plan? I just want to find out if they look at that. And then the second question is for IUCMA. On the historically disadvantaged individuals and resource poor farmers, supported by the entity to ensure all poor farmers have water supply, and how many farmers are supported? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. One or two from me. The first one is to the department minister or deputy minister around the TCTA. In the last 2 or 3 years, there were problems around the TCA operations, which we were told that the department is fixing. How far are we? Can we take it that now that that those problems are now done with? Everything is done. And the Incomati, the difficulties that you have, for instance, I know that Nyaka Dam at some point dries up and sometimes it holds water. It supplies big areas of Bushbuck Ridge, Zantia, Ancient Court, down to the far north, far southeast of the area. But at some point it was run by Rand Water. It is now back to Bushbuck Ridge Municipality. What is really the benefits of the fact that the dam is now run by the municipality as compared to the dam when Rand Water was the operative water utility? I want to ask, there is a dam in the mountains of Muhuluhulu called Sebrans Panikarik Dam. And I've asked this question at some point. I don't get a sense of what we're doing about that dam. That dam is too huge. In actual fact, when we grew up, because I grew up visiting my TV through that Orissat Road, we were of the view that is a sea, because we did not know what a sea is. Nothing is spoken about that dam, the Muhuluhulu Dam called Sebrans Panikarik. What is happening in that one? I want to ask on the Berehorit, you are saying you are utilizing 77% of your total budget to employees' benefit when the norm in the world is that at most you can go to 30, but acceptable norms are 25%. Now, do we want us to believe that you exist solely for purposes of disbursing in monies to employees? I mean, your goods and services only is accounting for 11% of your budget. My 77% is for salaries only. It is even worse. Your board, it's one point something percent, your board money. Your operational cost, it seems you have got no operational work that you are doing. You get money, from getting the money you give back to the employees, and to feel that is normal. Or is it supposed to be normal, by the way? And how is that? Because I've heard the minister saying, the way you are so good, they want you to expand, to deal with the whole Western Cape. In this trend of 77% of yourself going to employees, how are you going to survive under normal circumstances when it is supposed to go back to 30 or 25% of your income as being allowed to be used for employees' benefits and employee relations? Otherwise, this is your budget. I think you are telling us this is working, but I'm a little bit worried of the lifespan that you will have. If you only get money to pay salaries only and nothing more but that, nothing less. We are now expecting to be answered, Minister. If you are starting, please start. If you are giving your people to answer first, do so. But we are in your hands now. Department, Minister, Deputy Minister, DG. I know that there's an acting DG, Wetso, or any of the department of the entities who want to answer first.
If there are no hands, I can start with the responses. This is Persis Chemani from GCTA, with your permission.
Yeah, I'm saying there are no hands. I'm awaiting you to answer. That's why I was saying okay. The minister or the deputy minister or any other person.
Okay, then I will start then unless the minister or the deputy minister wants to come in. The questions that were asked to TCTA, and I will ask members if there's anything that we've left out, because some of the questions are similar, so one would answer them in the same way, in a similar fashion. Member Mutala's question related to a report that was done by the Water Research Commission on TCTA project and women in TCTA project. I think one of the things that needs to be understood is the size of TCTA projects, but perhaps one has to answer this question in a manner that we explain how we go about with the project. Because of the size of the project, there's a lot of work that we do on the ground before we even start with the project, where it actually assists us to even answer your second question, Memo Shala, of the construction mafia, because it's a reality, it's real, it's something that is there. And in terms of how we deal with it is we actually have a unit that goes on the ground and engages with the community and the community leaders as well, whether from a formal political side or even in terms of traditional leaders. And part of that would now be looking at talking about the project, looking at the skills that are there at that particular point in time. But you'll always find that there's a difference between the work that is available, and I think this was also asked by Mecheke and members of Posing, in terms of, or Mayor Peterson as well, in terms of qualifying micro enterprises. There's the side of the core business, which are now the big projects that we need to do. So there is that process where we go on the ground, we engage with the communities, and then we find their skill sets. And there's a process that gets followed in terms of ensuring that the locals are able to benefit from the project as we do them. And that's part of how we roll out the project on one side. The other side would just be in terms of normal business from a point of view of what we need to consume as TCTA. In that, then we follow strictly the rules as set up by National Treasury in terms of how we deal with these particular matters. Now, the case that I have mentioned is very important if you consider the outcome thereof, Chair, where we're talking about the stop that has been put to the SOEs in terms of going out into the market. The way we've looked at it and analyzed it, it says the state has to go to the pre-2017 rules, where we had much more say in terms of how a tender needs to go out. It has good and bad. In the good side is you can actually say this contract is going out or this tender is going out and it has to be for, we're looking specifically targeting the youth, targeting people with disability or targeting women. But post 2017, we could not do that. We had to go with the instructions that are set up in National Treasury. Otherwise, these would have been audit findings. So where we're sitting, we are waiting for final outcome in terms of this, but this tool would actually come in handy to be able to deal with these matters. So sometimes the state and its entities can do much better, but the rules sometimes are the ones that are making it difficult to actually do some of the things that we need to do. But to answer the question is, that's the process that we follow in terms of ensuring that we do have women in TCK projects, but it's in as far as the amount of work that they need to do. It needs to be remembered that primarily we go into the market to borrow money, and this is where probably our space is a bit unfair, where you're talking about project financing, because sometimes you get money coming from countries outside and then they send their own conditions in terms of what needs to happen. But we always make sure that we are aligned to the SONA constitution of the country in terms of the rules from a point of view of how do we do procurement. So that's the process that we follow. I think high level, I did talk about that in terms of our procurement strategy to make sure that there's alignment with the government's intention. So that's the process that we follow. Where we can, it's on the smaller projects or when we're looking at things like office supplies or other just day-to-day things where we actually ensure that we look at the micro businesses and we are able to deal with matters of disability. On the issue of disability, that one we try to deal with also in terms of who do we recruit and what kind of qualifications do they have, and there are processes that we follow on that part as well. Now, the issue of the construction mafia, because unless you are able to easily tackle the issue of ensuring that there's a representation on the end users, you'll always get this kind of problem. But if you work in closely with the communities before the project gets started, it's easy to deal with those. But even that is not foolproof, because sometimes you do get people that were never part of the discussions in the first place that then come and say they are demanding some of the projects. I think a good example is one project that we are helping that is being done by the department, which is the Mzimvu, where a lot of local people are now demanding that these processes or this project needs to be done by them. But the issue becomes the small players as well. There's always a problem with guaranteeing the work that they've done, especially if you're talking about multi-billion rand projects. That's why we now force the main tenderers or whoever is the people that have won the tender to give them targets in terms of how many people do they need to appoint at subcontractors, but still ensuring that that won't get used against us by people that says you forced us to appoint people that don't know what they are doing, so it's a problem. So it's something that we manage all the time in terms of how we deal with that. But we found that with communication and making sure that we can identify and deal with the legitimate leaders in the different communities, it actually goes a long way in terms of dealing with this particular issue. And I think it covers quite a number of questions that have been asked by other members. And I think as part of that, that also answers the issue of facilitation of new entrants. Because if we set the targets properly and say, these are the conditions in terms of when we do procurement, say, you will get X number of points if your structure looks like this, or if you are able to bring new entrants as part of your submission. And this is the right trigger where we are able to force new entrants to work with those that have been in the sector for a long time or that have the capacity, because other than that, you will not have the skills transfer that you need. There was a question that talked about how do we deal with mitigating the funding challenges. For now, because we are an SOE or a special purpose vehicle that does not even have a balance sheet, we rely on the department and also National Treasury giving us the direction in terms of what we have to do. We have started looking at engaging with other, trying to find other sources of funding except for the banks, because this is a real threat if one thinks about it, because the banks, if you look at their credit committee, which are the committees that make the decision whether they want to give us money or not, they will always look at how exposed they are to TCTA and the other institutions. So you always worry about that. So we are also now starting to look at saying, is it possible for us to start looking at even the people that are tendering to start bringing their own money? Because it's very important that we don't get to struggle to be able to do projects. But this is a bigger issue where National Treasury has to look not only at TCTA project or water project, but the whole country's project and try to do a balancing act on that. And we work closely with them to actually make sure that we meet their conditions. But at this stage, what we are doing is we are diversifying the sources of funding, but we are very careful as we do that. It's very important that we can actually even get the funders to do that. We need to make sure that the cost of that funding remains competitive. I think this also touched on the matter of job creation, because we create jobs on the basis of the projects that we're doing and where the projects are. The good thing with that is this would actually pass through many communities if you consider the size of what we're dealing with. And we are able to get job creation supported through the implementation of the project, but also the conditions that we put in when we actually do the procurement and managing the project. The issue of batteries, we are a small organization currently sitting at 171 or so people. But as part of that, we have allocated for this year that we are engaging on about 9 bursaries, and we have about 7 interns. Part of that now is to also answer the questions in terms of how do we bring the youth into this particular space to make
sure
that...
Will you confirm me?
Yes, I've confirmed. Let me just check. Unless it's the other way around. It's 7 bursaries and 9 interns. But those are the numbers as I've confirmed them with my team, Chair. The issue of agency, I need to say, Member Check, that this is the same thing. The one, maybe we just called it the agency, but it's exactly the same one that you're talking about in terms of the Water Resources Agency. So what we're talking about is the same project. So it's not a different one. And I think there's a lot of information and the guidance that we're getting from the minister in terms of how to deal with this matter going forward. Members opposing touched on the issue of acid mine drainage challenges, but with the mining still continuing. There's a history more to this issue. It should be remembered that we have AMD challenges in South Africa because we did not have strong environmental laws before. But now there's been a lot of working on improving our environmental laws such that even if you have mining activities at this stage, the laws that they operate under actually forces them to be able to clean their mess or the issues that relate to AMD. But where we have a problem is all these historical ones where we didn't have these strong laws, and I think a lot of companies came into South Africa, did their mining and left. During mining operations, it's not a problem. It's post that where you have all of this exposed tailings where you don't have anybody, or there were no legislation that dealt with those. So all of these things are related to areas where there was mining activity before. But South Africa has gone a long way in terms of ensuring that the current mining activities are actually strict to actually ensure that there's rehabilitation funding that is put in there before licenses are given and it's actually checked on an annual basis. So we are covered in terms of current mining operations. It's just now dealing with all that history where it becomes a problem. And this is where the whole AMD comes in. The issue of Bravas, to ask, I did touch on this, maybe I didn't do justice to it in terms of why is there cost escalation. Like I said, when this project was started, it was seen as an emergency. And as an emergency, it meant that you work with assumptions because you don't have enough time then to do your proper costing so that you know exactly how close you are to the actual cost. But one of the biggest issues that we have is the time it takes for us to then look at the initial cost and how long it takes for the end users, in most cases it will be municipalities, to finalize the agreements. If one were to look at this particular project, they're toing and froing between us and the municipalities. And the municipalities and the city of Cape Town had their own issues in terms of how much water needs to be allocated to whom. And they also the farmers as well wanted to be part of this particular process. As these things take long until we get now the finalization where the different municipalities, the structures that needs to approve them, actually approve them. Sometimes it can take multiple years, which is the case here. And that means now you have costs that are getting out of hand because we don't have those agreements signed. And National Treasury is very clear that they won't give us any approvals to go into the market if we don't have contracts that are binding the end users to be able to repay those costs, because it's one of those things where they say that would actually be reckless for them to say, go into the market, borrow money, and then you don't have customers that are actually saying they will pay. So that's one of the other things that have created this problem at this particular point in time. Hence, we now need to go back to the drawing board and engage with everybody. Technical upskilling, I think I've touched on that in terms of how we deal with the project. And what I need to say is, despite us being as small as 171 employees full-time, we appoint people on the basis of the project. Any project that is now getting into the implementation phase, we will appoint people contractually to actually ensure that for that phase, whether it's a 5-year or even more than a 5-year, people will be appointed just for that project. And then that's how we do the technical upskilling. At the end of the project, then their contract would end, because other than that, if there are no projects in the pipeline, we'll end up with a lot of overheads that we cannot afford. So we try and make sure that the core work and activity is limited. But when we are having projects that we are implementing, then we increase accordingly. But the lifespan of those contracts are linked to the project as well. And that's why we are able to keep the cost a bit low as well. Member Peterson, I think I've covered the issue of qualifying micro enterprises in our procurement. The way I would answer that question is, we are able to deal with the department because we will now have a shareholder compact where the minister would say, from TCTA, this is what my expectations are. And the board would now then further devolve that into the business by having contracts with us now by way of shareholder compact that would now say, this is what the minister has instructed the board, and this is how the board would now ensure that these particular targets are met. And I think from the minister's point of view, the amalgamation of all those different shareholder compacts would make up what the department would now stand for in terms of what they are looking at. But I think the board itself as well would be looking at these particular issues. But like I said, if there's one thing that one would say, it's important. It's also getting guidance from the committee from a point of view of how this latest judgment that came out of that related to procurement needs to be dealt with in a manner that gives us more breathing space. Because unless we follow that, we are not complying. And then it's a matter that the AG would come and say there's so much non-compliance in this particular environment. And maybe the issue that the chairperson has raised, especially for TCTA, in the last 2 years, Chair, you are right about the challenges that have been there between us and the AGSA in terms of our audits. I am happy to announce that finally we've got to a point, because we had to go through a process that included National Treasury, but in this case, looking at the Accountant General. And there are decisions that have now finally been made that would have an impact on our accounting treatment. And we expect that going forward, we won't have all of these issues. But to put it mildly, we were able to get to a point where the way STCTA, we have actually been doing our accounting treatment and how we dealt with this is the one that's now accepted by the AG in terms of how we'll be working going forward. So there should be an improvement in terms of the time we take before we come to Parliament to actually engage on the outcome of the performance. Chair, I've tried to answer all questions, although some I tried to pull together. I don't know whether there's anything I have not touched where my team can come in, Chair. Thank you.
No, let's hear the other entity.
Yeah, may I follow some temperature person of ICMA? The question, Chair, that you asked about Nyaka Dam and the Mololo Dam, I'll pass that one to the department because they manage the dams. Honorable Peter C.
But who gave this permission?
Is actually the amended chair. with your permission, Chair. All right.
Let's continue.
Honorable Peter C. asked about the support that we give to the historical disadvantaged farmers. We do give support in terms of water license applications. I will ask the CEO to just give numbers to the committee on that one and other support that we give to the historical disadvantaged farmers. The question asked about asked by Honourable Member Masege, job creation. We do have job creation that we do in some lots of areas. I will ask the CEO to give numbers on that, as well as climate change, what we are thinking about to do. Also, the CEO will talk to that, and water boards, how we work with the water boards. We'll also ask the CEO to talk about that. Honorable Mthala asks about effectiveness of operation of the CMAs. From the discussion and the information that we get from stakeholders, we believe that the CMAs are relevant because we talk to the people in our water catchment areas, and if they get us to know each other in terms of their problems they have, we are quick to sort out those problems. The CEO again will add on that one. CEO, if you can continue, give the committee information on the question asked.
Are people just have logged in and left, or are they still in the meeting?
CEO, are you there?
No, we are here. I'm here. I want
now to. Why are we not answered? Are you not participating?
Chairperson?
Yes.
Through you, perhaps, we can attempt, if we are allowed, IUCMA, if it's happy, that we proceed with the BGCMA while we wait for the CEO of IUCMA to unmute, perhaps.
Let's try to do that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you so much, the Honorable Swope Sengwe, Honorable Seke, for the questions raised relating to the BGCMA. So I will go through some of the questions and try to respond to many of them. And our CFO and the CEO are here to add more comments on that. Chairperson, the first question was around the use of Water Research Commission, around whether do we use the Water Research Commission's research on the clearing of invasive species? And the answer is yes, Chairperson. So we do work with Water Research Commission. We also work with the National Strategy on Invasive Species Management. You know, that is also led and governed by the National Biodiversity Act on how to manage invasive species in general. So we certainly are using that their research in the application of the invasive species management. But what is very important to highlight here, Chairperson, is that BGCMA itself, although it may influence how the work is done in terms of the specification and so on, we do not actively go out and clear these aliens, but we work with different agencies and various small SMMEs in the area. And I think this goes to the question that was also raised. I think it was a comment raised by yourself, Chairperson, when you said the total budget of 67% being against the world standard in relation to the human resources. And it is because we are not what you call an operational entity. We are largely a service entity that provides services and expert input. And hence, if one refers back to the strategic focus areas which we've highlighted, all of them, including the water resource management, under which the alien invasive species fall, that is it's a specialist input. So we hire specialists rather than providing operational services, which would obviously shift the graph in terms of how this actually looks. And I think it will always look bad, Chairperson, when one looks at the budget versus, or rather I should say, when one looks at the human resources budget versus the operational budget in this case. And there was also a comment or question raised around whether have we identified vulnerable wetlands in the area that need rehabilitation. So within the catchment management area, with the catchment management strategy, it is through that process where we identify all work that needs to be done, working with various stakeholders, working with various partners and various entities, WWF and so on, to look at the vulnerable areas and look at what sort of strategies need to be applied in those areas to ensure that the yield, water yield is improved. And most of these would include having to create and work with small businesses through the communities where the collection of river, or rather I should say collection of litter through river rehabilitation programs, where we're creating swap shops with the communities to clear wetlands. But mostly the challenges with wetlands, if it fails, in other words, if the the environmental the EIA processes allow for that wetland to be built on, I think we have lost the battle there. But if the wetland is still in shape, those wetlands also form part of the catchment management strategy, and they are rehabilitated accordingly. The third question, Chairperson, it was around if CMAs are important in decentralizing services and reaching out to the communities, why has it taken very long? Chairperson, through you, this question I would put it back to the department. But from where I am and from what I can respond to is that there's been a back and forth around how many of these catchment management agencies should the department establish. And I think one of the challenges was in relation to the very same question you were asking, Chairperson, of saying how many of these entities do we have to create. It will end up costing the state a lot of money to establish them, considering the fact that we obviously not delivering the services as one would actually expect. So you would end up having many boards and so on, but the department has already committed of establishing six catchment management areas in the country, And in certain areas, they're going to look at amalgamating areas where it makes sense boundary-wise to make these entities, cover a bigger area. And this is relatedly to try and save costs in that space. And most of the staff that would end up working in the cation management agencies would come from the regional offices. So you may see cation management agencies' budgets going up, once again, but those would be the staff that would be coming from the department. Also, one would say the department's budget would go down while the CMA's budgets go up. And that's the kind of picture that we might be experiencing as we go forward. And the other question, also looking at time, is the job creation question. What is the BGCMA doing? And I think the comment was very specific in saying, our presentation was very generic. It's a fair question and it's a fair comment. And it is because our work is primarily catalytic in how it works. So when we actually, go out and we issue licenses, the license itself is able to allow water access, water rights, and so on. And the agricultural activities, irrigation, and so on, that's where the actual job creation starts to happen, in there. When we deploy a rainwater harvesting program, that's when people who would have otherwise never had water, now they have access to water, they're able to irrigate, and they're able to create, employment in that way. And so that's how we create jobs in our space, to create projects that create jobs, not actively ourselves creating that job, although we do have internship programs where we've realized the gap in the water resource management as well as services as well, to ensure that we work with various entities like the University of the Western Cape, Cape Peninsula University of Technologies, where we've signed memorandum of understanding to work with them to try and absorb interns from these entities for a period of 3 years to build skills in the sector. So that's another way we're trying to ensure that we're creating jobs there that are sustainable in a way. And the question of drought, why is it possible for farmers? So this is in relation to the water rights. So where farmers have water rights, it may appear as though they have water. And I think we should be, it's a very tricky how to respond to this question here, but rather is that, I don't know whether I should say one should be grateful that the water was there, but I don't know if that is appropriate. But all farmers who have water, they have water rights through the licensing process. And we are happy that during drought, they allowed access to the various municipalities to access and distribute that water accordingly. And there was also a question on whether farmers drill their own boreholes. So yes, the answer to that would be yes, they do drill their own boreholes following the approval. It could either be through a general authorization or a water use license, depending on the amount of water that is to be abstracted. And obviously that would be accompanied by a metering system in line with the conditions of approval, Chairperson. And I think I've touched on the issue of total budget, but there was the other point that related to the rollover of unspent budget of about 3 million. We've seen this happen in the past, Chairperson, but the CFO can touch lightly on this, where we find ourselves not being able to operate because the augmentation budget would have otherwise arrived late from the department. So you find that the rollover budget always allow us to kickstart our services so that we do not delay. But, I think this point may need to be elaborated further through our CFO and the CEO. Chairperson, through you, if it's okay, let me allow the CFO and the acting CEO to respond, Chairperson, if that's okay. Thank you very much.
After you, Yanni.
Nelly, you can go regarding the rollover budget.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. The chairperson has already covered that one of the reasons is due to late receiving of the funds from the department. Even now, we've already on the second month of the new financial year, but we have not received any funding. And also another reason for the rollover is due to committed funds for validation and verification. We are busy sending out the letters to the water users to confirm the registered volume. So those are the rollover amount. Also the alien clearing as well as the rain harvesting tanks. All these projects were delayed due to lockdown restrictions. Yes, we do have enough capacity. Definitely by the end of this financial year, we will utilize all the money that we've set aside for the project. Another question was about the qualifying small enterprise owned. This part is included on the BBBE budget. We are reporting to the department quarterly on that line item. I think going forward on the APP, we need to show it as a separate line item within our APP. Otherwise, we are reporting quarterly to the department about that line item. I think from my side, the chairperson has covered everything. Over to you, Yanni.
Chairperson, of the portfolio committee, I think my chair, he answered all the questions very good in line with water resources management. I can just maybe add that for the borrowers that one of the honorable members asked regarding the accounting, so all water use, including borrowers, are accounted for. You are supposed to get approval and a license, and you will get the invoice to pay for that. So automatically it will be accounted on our system. And then just quickly input regarding the high percentage of our budget that is going to the salaries of employees. I was getting really worried when I heard this part of the question now, that because I was thinking maybe there goes my increase for the next year or two. But in reality, water resources management in the context of the National Water Act and of a CMI is actually to provide a professional water resource service. And these services are things like processing of a license application. If I can just stick to that one. To process a license application, you need very highly specialized people. You need engineers, ecologists, geohydrologists, etc. And they only process, in a sense, the paperwork, the application on the system. So our comparison must more be, I will think, in line, what is the total salary cost of the National Prosecuting Authority, for example, or even of SARS. As we provide just the professional service, we provide the human input and the human skill to do water resources management in the area. And just a last comment, Chair, on the matter of employment creation. My chair said already that in every license, there is a potential of a couple of water opportunities. So as soon as we process and the quicker we can do that to get those out of the system, automatically you will add to job creation. But then also I want to emphasize the role that the CMI is playing by means of capacity building, awareness of our local communities and the forums in preventing water pollution. Because our area is mostly a farming community where the farmers irrigate for export or domestic use. So if the quality of the river water is not of such standard that you can irrigate, then automatically that irrigation practice cannot take place. And there will be a reduction in total employment, especially on the farms. So by keeping our water quality and our water resources very good and of a high standard, we actually ensure that the people already working in those sectors can remain working in those sectors and even increase the numbers of people working or participating in that sector. Thank you, Chair. That's all I want to add.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson, from the IUCMA, with your permission, we may then provide some of the responses.
Yes, I'm just worried it's not 1:30. No, see, are we going till when?
Till 2:00, Chairperson.
Okay. Well, let's continue, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for the questions. Chair, in terms of the job creation, we can report that in as far as direct job creation is concerned, I think in the last financial year, we've been able to employ around 21 new employees within the organization. And I think that is a number which we can report to the committee. And as far as the projects that do realize indirect jobs for our communities, we've got a number of projects that we're currently implementing, ranging from the installation of water tanks within some communities, as well as the boreholes and projects that relate to the alien vegetation clearance program. And we can report to the committee that I think we, the numbers we're looking at about 200 jobs that will be created in terms of the alien vegetation clearance program, and more than 60 job opportunities that will be created in terms of our CSI program. This excludes job creation that would be jobs that will be created in respect of the program on river cleaning. We do expect about 30 people to be employed in that project, and we're quite happy that the implementation of our project will certainly result in some, although short-term, intervention in terms of relief of members of the community. Chairperson, the issues that relate to the transformation of the irrigation boards to water use associations, indeed, we are playing a role, a facilitation role as an agency. We have now issued through the department key principles which are non-negotiable, which are contained in the Transformation Charter. Up to so far, we have been able to appoint an internal task team to implement the project. That is the facilitation. We do have the terms of reference for the establishment of the Nkomati Water Users Association. We do have, which has been recently finalized, the Transformation Charter for the Water Users Association. As we stand today, Chairperson, we have, in fact, met with all the irrigation boards with a view to fast-track this process. The 26 irrigation boards will be transformed into only 2 water use associations, and the proposed Nkomati, which is amalgamating about 17 irrigation boards into 1, and amalgamating other